Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to the Falcoholic Lives Falcons vs. Browns Week 4 post-game show. Appreciate your patience while I was getting everything going here. This game ended extremely quickly. You know, you guys, as you guys know, normally the show starts like at the earliest at like 4:15. A lot of times it's like 4:30. So as this game ended very fast, took me. I was a little bit, you know, slow on the draw there, getting this stuff out. So I do apologize for that being delayed a little bit. But thank you guys for your patience for waiting on this one, because we have a very interesting game to talk about. Obviously, the Falcons come away with the Week 4 victory, 23-20. Welcome sight for this team to get back to 500. Probably should be 3-1 at this point. Could even be 4-0. So for those of you expecting the Falcons to play better than they were projected to, this is a pretty good start. I think 2-2 through this first four games is a very good outcome. Probably what I would have hoped for in like my rosier projections. And I think the fact that the Falcons are ultimately doing a good job of keeping all these games close, even against teams like the Rams, who, you know, should theoretically outclass them. They come roaring back in that game to make it close. And if they can keep a lot of these games close every single week and make these one-score games, then they'll have a chance to win these games because, as you guys know, a lot of these one-score games are basically 50-50 coin flips. So appreciate that aspect of the Falcons. Let me get to this donation by Corey with the $5. He says, great job by the coaching staff today of changing the plan in-game. The run game was working. They didn't overthink it. Also, it occurs to me that Mariota might be more athlete than quarterback 9-8. Yeah, Corey, that's a good segue into talking about Mariota. And if any of you guys have questions that you'd like us to answer, you can donate. I guess when I'm doing my solo thing here, there's like no... hold on. See if I can figure this out. Well, it's not working great, but there is a link that I will get to you guys. It's streamlabs.com/thefalcoholic/tip. If you'd like to donate, we really appreciate that. If you're not inclined to donate, which is totally fine, you could give us a like and subscribe. We appreciate that as well. So thank you all for tuning in. We should probably all calm down on the wild card playoff talk at this point, but I considering the landscape of the NFC, I mean, it's not completely ridiculous, right? It's not like there's a lot of super strong contenders right now for the wild card slots, particularly those like last ones. So it's not as outlandish as it probably would have been a few weeks ago, because like I said, a lot of these teams that were expected to be these wild card teams have faltered, have not played particularly well. So now you've got the Falcons with a chance to sort of beat expectations, play well, and, you know, potentially steal a slot there with even a losing record, maybe, you know, an even record. But there's a long way to go, a very long way to go here for the Falcons before we really start talking about that. I'm going to pull up all the stats from this game just so we have them on hand here. And I know it was an elite day from the ground attack. I will definitely get Corey to the Marcus Mariota stuff, because that's one of the hottest topics here. Ultimately, the Falcons, this was like the worst offensive game for the Falcons, interestingly. Now, it still wasn't awful overall. 333 total yards, that's not bad, certainly. The 131 passing yards is bad. No way around that. But the Falcons managed to get over that by piling up 202 rushing yards. They beat the NFL's number one rushing attack in the Browns in rushing yardage, which is pretty crazy. The Falcons certainly didn't do a great job on third down, just going 3 of 9. Only ran 55 plays to Cleveland's 71, but there were a couple of crucial mistakes by the Browns. That fumble was obviously huge. That led to the Falcons being able to sort of overcome a lot of their offensive struggles and put up 13 points in the fourth quarter to take this game over. Not something we're accustomed to seeing, right? That the Falcons are actually the team sort of coming back, doing a great job, and being the ones to take over the lead late and keep it. So that is a new thing for us, right? On the ground, Falcons had a lot of success from a lot of rushers. They certainly had a lot of carries. We had Tyler Allgeier with 10 carries for 84 yards. That's pretty great. Obviously, 8.4 yards per carry. Tremendous. Caleb Huntley with 10 carries for 56 yards. He had a 5.6 yards per carry average and a touchdown. Cordarrelle Patterson had 9 carries for 38 yards, which is still a respectable 4.2 yards per carry and a touchdown. Avery Williams had just one for 21 yard average. That's great. Mariota, however, has seemed to have lost his mojo as a runner. I think part of that is the Falcons were sort of trying to coach that out of him to some extent, because he was taking a lot of hits early in the year, just 5 carries for 3 yards. So sort of a drain there. The ground game was great. Everybody was getting action. I think they were purposefully limiting Patterson's work to let that knee injury, which I don't believe is severe, to let that sort of heal. And I think, you know, they probably could have leaned on Patterson more if they thought they really needed to. But clearly, it's when you see all the running backs eating, it's partially that the defense you're going against is not playing well, and also that your run blocking up front is good. And I think there was a stretch where the run blocking struggled in the second quarter, but I think they really hit their stride in the second half, just really started dominating on the ground. And this is now the second game, and I know someone in the chat pointed it out, Shaquavius Scott, that this is 2 games over 200 yards rushing for the Falcons now. So that's pretty insane. The Falcons will definitely be near the very top of the NFL in rushing offense after this game, which, considering how bad they were running the ball last year, is pretty nuts for that big of a turnaround. That's one of the things that I was really looking to see. Like, we know Arthur Smith really wants a strong running game to make his offense work. And last year, Falcons were 31st in rushing yardage and 30th in yards per carry, just 3.7 yards per carry. Very bad, despite the presence of Cordarrelle Patterson. This year, it's been much better. They're like, I think they're already over halfway, like more than halfway past last year's rushing total, and they've shown no signs of slowing down. Obviously, the Browns defense was depleted in this one up front, with both Clowney and Myles Garrett missing this game. Clowney's been out for several games, so not necessarily like the Browns were still defending the run well without Clowney. I obviously, losing Myles Garrett is absolutely huge, right? Like, there's not really any way to sugarcoat that. The Falcons should have had more success passing the ball. We'll get to that with the whole Mariota discussion. So it was a good game, I think, for the rushing offense in particular. Like, the blocking was good, the running backs were running hard, and I think it was really smart of them to activate the extra running back because of Cordarrelle Patterson's injury and the fact that they really were going to pound the rock here, you know, over 30 carries for the running backs. Well, I guess technically 30 carries exactly for the running backs. That was the best part of this game, was watching them dominate. I mean, I don't remember the last time this team had a 10-play drive of just runs that scored a touchdown. Pretty awesome to see. I did really enjoy that aspect. They sort of beat the Browns at their own game in this one, just dominating the ground game. You know, the Falcons got annihilated in the time of possession, right? Falcons only possessed the ball for 24 minutes, which is kind of insane that they were able to amass 202 rushing yards in only 24 minutes of game time. And a lot of that has to do with them just going completely cold in the second quarter, going completely cold after those first 2 drives, where they went 3 and out, I think 3 or 4 straight times. And they just didn't possess the ball. And that's going to really stress out your defense and really stress out your ability to win this game. And the fact that they were able to overcome that is impressive. But I think it also showed how limited this passing game really is, despite the presence of a lot of really quality weapons because of Marcus Mariota. And we're going to get to that too. We get another donation here from Corey with the $5. Thank you so much, Corey. He says, "Love seeing Pitts in the backfield because it reminds me of when the Rams did the same thing against us with Kupp. Shows the team is trying to be creative with how they get the ball to playmakers. It was also really smart of Allgeier to go down in bounds." Yeah, it was. Yeah, I thought Allgeier really made a good play, especially that dump off that he took for a first down. That was absolutely crucial. I like seeing them try to use Pitts creatively again because of how limited the passing game is with Marcus Mariota at this point. It's going to be really hard to get anyone involved Like, I mean, Mariota only completed 7 passes in this game. Like, that is completely ridiculous passing. Like, 19 attempts, 7 completions. That is absolutely unacceptable for any passing game. And that is a big topic coming out of this one. That is something to talk about. I know Mariota has a lot of fans, and I don't think that Mariota has played poorly up until this point in the season. I think the last couple games, Mariota played pretty well. I didn't really have any big complaints. I think this game we really saw what happens when he gets sort of frazzled, and he just becomes completely inaccurate and scattershot with the accuracy. And that I also think that he's not necessarily the quarterback to really push a passing game to the next level. I think his ability as a runner is nice. I think that he's actually pretty efficient with his throws most of the time when he's on schedule. But there's no way around it. Like, there was a poor performance from Mariota today. Just a lot of off-target throws. I mean, there certainly were a couple of drops. I wouldn't say there were a lot of drops in this one. Just off-target. I mean, I don't think that interception was that bad, to be honest. I don't think that was really, like, his worst play or anything like that. It is what it is. Like, I don't really think that interception was, like, I know people were really pissed off about the interception. I mean, I think that was just a great play by Denzel Ward. I mean, maybe Mariota could have put it like a little bit further out in front of London, but that wasn't really the play I had a problem with. It was the off target throws. There were a lot of them. It just really hurt it really hurt the offense. Now there were certainly some uncalled penalties on the defense. That is certainly not Mariota's fault. But the passes were not necessarily on target on a lot of those missed throws. There's also the snap issues. A lot of that is on Drew Dahlman. The snap today that was fumbled, now to Mariota's credit, he did pick it up and keep that from being a catastrophic play, but that was Mariota's fault. Like, the snap hit him in the hands. That wasn't on the center that time. So he's limited, in terms of what he can do. I think calling it inconsistent at this point is fair. I don't think that Mariota's been awful to any extent. I mean, I think this was certainly his worst game. Doesn't mean that he can't bounce back, and I don't think we're going to be, like, calling for... I mean, some people are calling for Desmond Ridder. I mean, I think that's a little premature. But this should have been a better offensive game, certainly. And Mariota just needs to get the ball on target to these guys, particularly on those outside routes. It seemed like a lot of those were off. But again, I'll rewatch the game. We'll talk about it in the film review. I'm sure it's a win, so it'll be more of a positive film review. But it was a bad game for him. But again, everybody has bad games. I'm not saying Mariota's cooked or like he can't ever do anything, but it's obvious that the passing game is a bit limited. It's going to be a low volume passing game. And I think at this point we need to see more running for Mariota. And I think that's like, I think it was like early on, it was like, okay, at first it was like, oh yeah, please calm down with the running, Mariota. And now it's like, okay, like you might want to actually take off sometimes. So like, it's all about finding that balance. I don't think they've really found that yet. But I think the way you win with Marcus Mariota is you give him good weapons and you don't necessarily force him to make a lot of crazy throws. You let him hit the play action, which I think he's been very good at. You know, we've seen that with Zacchaeus a lot. We've seen it with Kadarius Hodge. We've seen it with London and Pitts. But the tight window throws and the plays under pressure are where he's going to break down. I think he's actually done a pretty admirable job of avoiding pressure. It's just that the throws tend to be off target at that point. So I do think an underrated part of Mariota's game is his threat as a runner, right? I think that's opened up the running game for other players. So I think that is something he deserves credit for. But this was Mariota's worst game. I think that the passing game is clearly limited with him as the quarterback. But I think that this running game is benefiting from his presence to a big degree. So I think this Falcons offense can still be a good offense with Mariota as the quarterback. They will remain probably a fringe top 10 offense. I mean, I don't know. Depends on the rest of the teams this week, but it was a tough game for him. Tough watch. It's just not what you want to see from your starting quarterback. But again, the team's not going to bench him for one poor game. I don't think the team is necessarily looking to insert Desmond Ridder at this point, so everyone should calm down about that. But it's also okay to criticize when players have a bad game, and this was a bad game for him. I do think he'll bounce back. So, you know, everybody just relax. Just relax. But it wasn't a good game for him. The passing game really struggled today against an opponent that they should have been able to move the ball against. You know, they didn't have any of their top three pass rushers. It was a lot of rookies out there. Like, Mariota should have had time to set his feet and throw. And even when he wasn't pressured, I thought that the accuracy was really scattershot. So, you know, he offers you a lot of things. I don't think he offers you great passing ability, but I think the path for this Falcons team to be a good offense is not with a high passing volume to begin with, right? This is going to be something that similar to Tennessee, that they want to run the ball and they want to have an efficient play action passing game. And I think when this offense is at its best, that's what they're doing. I think that they didn't do a great job of executing the passing today, but the run game compensated. And if the run game can get like 200 yards, man, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't even need to throw the ball if your run game's putting up 200 plus every week. So that's obviously a positive takeaway. But you know, we'll see how it progresses. We're going to face, some very tough defenses over the next 2 weeks. That's really going to stress out this passing game even more. You know, we'll see what happens against the Bucs right next week, and then the San Francisco 49ers after that, two of the best, if not the best, two defenses in the NFL. So we're going to get another look at that, certainly. But I think at this point, like, I don't think the Falcons are going to be inserting Desmond Ridder at this point. You know, we'll see. I mean, I've always said it's probably that Bears game that you're looking at. You know, and we'll go from there. So, you know, if Mariota's playing really well and this team is hunting for the playoffs, he's not getting benched. Like, that's just how it is. If this team's out of it, or if Mariota struggles more, then we'll probably see Ridder at some point. But at this point, I think we've seen two good games for Mariota, one like meh game, and then like this was a bad game. So it's nothing like truly alarming, but you certainly hate to see 7 for 19. From your quarterback. That's just never something you're going to like, but I'm sure that they will try to address some of those issues and continue to work on that stuff. And look, it's only four games in. Like, there's a chance this offense could get sharper as time goes on, but this was the softest defense they're going to face for a while now. So this was the chance for them to really put up some fireworks on offense, and they didn't really do it outside of the run game. So, you know, it's going to be a big test against the Bucs and the 49ers over the next 2 weeks to see what we can do. But yeah, everyone calling for Desmond Ridder, y'all need to calm down. Okay. It's not time for that yet. If we pulled every quarterback who had one bad game, you know, there would be a lot of bench quarterbacks around the league and not any starters. So, we got another $5 from Corey with asking, where is Ade, AK-47, Arnold Epik? You're going to be a beast with that spin move he is perfecting. Great job by Grant getting the outside leg of Chubb on the first drive down by the goal line. Don't like rolling Mariota left, and he also needs to run more when he can. Yeah, there's a lot of things to get to there. Like, I think Ade Ogundeje has been one of the more disappointing players this year. Obviously, it's still early, but as a result, you know, I think Ebikadi is going to get more and more play time. The fact that Ebikadi, I think, is playing the run and the pass better than Ogundeji, I mean, maybe shouldn't be surprising considering he's a second-round pick, but, you know, Ebikadi is going to get more and more play time if Ogundeji can't sort of start to you know, make more of an impact, especially as a run defender, which is what he's supposed to be out there. Richie Grant, I thought, had a good game. You know, obviously that he took a bad angle on that one Chubb run, but that would have been a tough play for the safety to make anyway. Like, Chubb coming 20 yards downfield with a head of steam, I mean, he might have just gotten trucked anyway, and that wouldn't have really been his fault. The defense just played that whole run awfully. Yeah, but I thought he had some key tackles. I thought he was involved on some key plays, and I think he had another good game. So Grant elevating his game is really big for this defense. I think Mariota rolling left has been a little bit more scattershot. I haven't charted it or looked at it that closely yet, so I can't really comment on it. But I do think that they need to give him the freedom to take off and run more when if you have the choice between a really difficult throw or running for like 3 to 4 yards, you probably just take the run. Like, you take the 3 to 4 yard run, because you trust your running game and everything else. Like, this team clearly wants to run the football. So if you have 1st and 10 and you have the choice between going for this really high difficulty throw on the run while you're under pressure versus just scampering for like 3 to 4 yards, if you get those 3 to 4 yards, it opens up the playbook and makes it acceptable. Like, on 2nd and 6, it's okay to run the football. It's not okay to run on 2nd and 10. Like, we saw what happened when the Falcons did that today. Like, tackle for loss, just 3 and outs every time they tried to do that. It doesn't work. It's bad football. It's bad analytically. It doesn't, like, it really makes it really difficult on your offense if you're insisting on, like, needing to run the ball on 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 8 or whatever. So just, that's my take on that. It's been my take for a long time that, you know, they need to avoid the 2nd and long runs. But it's really hard when you're incomplete on 1st down and, you know, like, if the passing game is limited, like, are you really going to pass again on 2nd and 10? Like, I mean, you should, but they just need to get things tightened up in the passing game. Like, it's not like Mariota was miles off on these throws. You know, I think the refs were pretty lackluster in terms of what they were calling. I think there were several holds that were basically just ignored, holds, DPIs, multiple things like that. So it is what it is. And I think that they will have to get better if they want to keep, they'll have to get better if they want to win some of these games against these really good defenses. So, I don't know where Adnan is, Jojo. He's supposed to be here. So I'm, you know, we're going to get on Adnan after this game for not being here. All right, let's get, well, we definitely need to talk about the defense, because the defense did, I think, end up coming in clutch despite not really having a good day overall. So we'll get to that as well. First, let me shout out once again Sweetwater Brewing for providing the liquid for today's show. Going to be enjoying a classic. I'm sure if you guys live in Atlanta, you've heard of Sweetwater 420. Classic IPA, very, very, very bitter IPA. So I'll be enjoying that throughout the show. So thanks again to Sweetwater for providing the suds for today's show. Luckily, I didn't need to chug it before the show because, you know, of an embarrassing loss. So that's always appreciated as well. So thank you, Falcons. All right. So the defense, look, not great all around. 403 yards allowed. But again, at the end of the day, like, 226 yards passing allowed, that's not a lot. So that's not bad. 177 yards rushing, that's worse. But at the end of the day, like, you're going up against Nick Chubb and the NFL's top rushing defense, like, rushing offense. You're going to give up yards to Nick Chubb. Like, Nick Chubb is maybe the best pure running back in the NFL in terms of his ability to break through contact and just create yardage all over the place. He's just really goddamn hard to tackle. Like, it doesn't mean that you're a bad defense if you can't tackle Nick Chubb, because literally every single defense has a really hard time tackling Nick Chubb. So he was going to get his. They were going to give up a lot of yards on the ground. The key was, like, can you make enough plays to keep it manageable for your offense? And I assumed that this would be like, no, they weren't really making a lot of plays and the offense would have to sort of just outscore the Browns, which that ended up not really happening. I mean, they sort of had to do that, right? I mean, ultimately you have to outscore your opponent, but really it was the defense that actually kept this thing manageable while the offense, both teams' offenses sort of just were inept for a long period. And it was ultimately the defense that closed it out after a strong final drive from the offense that they probably could have won on, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers in this game, right? Chubb is just really good. So, like, you know, there were a lot of missed tackles on Chubb, but that's part of what he does. He just runs through contact. He's so good with his balance and with his physicality. It's just part of the game. I hesitate to be too critical of the run defense against Nick Chubb and the Browns, who have maybe the best running run blocking offensive line in football. So, it's a tough matchup there. I think the Falcons did okay at limiting. Like, Chubb didn't run over. Like, it's funny because we saw what the Browns wanted to do, and the Falcons just did it better, right? Like, they took the Browns strategy, put it right back against them, and, like, just shortened this game. Like, this game was, like, over before 4 o'clock. It's rare that you see that in the NFL. So, I mean, props to the defense for not letting Chubb absolutely take over the game. I think they did a good job of at least keeping it, like, manageable. And especially that last drive, right? They really turned it on. I think, of course, Grady Jarrett came in clutch, right? You know, shout out to Grady Jarrett. Like, that man has just been elite in the clutch this season, just getting the sack. You know, they didn't get a lot of pressure on Brissett all game. Grady Jarrett busts through the line on a crucial down and distance, gets the sack. And then, of course, the Falcons end the game on another interception, this time by Dee Alford. And this was a really pretty one. And, like, that's what this defense is probably going to have to do to this is what they're probably going to have to do to help this offense win games, especially when they're not clicking. They're going to have to be opportunistic because I don't think they have the horses up front. I don't think they have, you know, the talent all around to really, like, shut down opposing offenses, except maybe if they're bad offenses, they can. But I think that they're going to have to find ways to create takeaways to sort of just have some, like, big plays. And we've seen that in almost every game, especially the wins, right? They've had a couple of really close, like, really good turnovers. They've had two turnovers back-to-back on these two wins to sort of seal the game. I don't believe Casey Hayward got benched. No. I know that they like to rotate. So I don't think he was benched. They had the clutch interception. They had that forced fumble. That I think they probably should have had that other forced fumble, for being completely honest. There was no whistle. They said he had forward progress stopped or whatever. I didn't hear a whistle. Questionable. I think the officiating was pretty questionable in this one. I think I was pleasantly surprised by the defense on that last drive. I think they did exactly what they needed to do to win. And sometimes that's all you have to do. It was, you know, not pretty. It was not beautiful. It was not ideal in any way, right? But it was enough for the victory. So props to the defense for getting that done. I think that was, just big props. Like, Grady Jarrett, I love you. Obviously, you guys know I'm a big Grady Jarrett fan. He's one of my favorite defensive player. I love that man. Great job. Just once again, Grady Jarrett out there by himself. It feels like, shout out to Taequann Graham too, because I think Taequann Graham had a really good game. I think they need to get him more as many snaps as he can handle, because he and Grady are sort of the two guys that are I think are NFL starter plus players. I think Abdullah Anderson, to his credit, has been a reliable reserve. Like, he has been someone they can rotate in. That's not a problem. I think it has not been as good as hoped with Anthony Rush. I think he has made some plays. But I think it might be something that they might be looking to get a higher end nose tackle going forward, with Anthony Rush being the, like, I think in an ideal world, Anthony Rush is probably like what he was last year, where he's your number two nose who rotates in on run heavy situations and plays a lot of snaps, but he's not your, like, go-to nose tackle. And I think that's what they were hoping for with Eddie Goldman. You know, Eddie Goldman offers you a little bit more, a lot more as a pass rusher. Anthony Rush, still a good run defender, but just doesn't offer you much as a pass rusher. And it is what it is. I do appreciate Rush's contributions against the run. I just think that he's limited in terms of his ceiling as a nose tackle. He's not really going to be a pass rusher for you. So I think next offseason certainly could be a time that they look to potentially acquire a higher end nose tackle. I think, you know, like I said, the Eddie Goldman signing, I think, sort of revealed that they were hoping to get that perhaps and have Rush as like a, like, I think if you have Rush and another high end nose tackle starter rotating on the interior, like, that's a really good duo of nose tackles. Like, I think Rush is like a solid starter. And if you can have that as your number two nose, I think that's great. I think him as like your only starter with an undrafted guy and Timmy Horn behind him, it's not ideal, but there's a lot of unideal things about this defensive line in particular right now. And, there are going to be some options on the market next year, right? You know, I know Dalvin Tomlinson for the Vikings has been playing really well. He's certainly someone they could look at as more of a pass rushing nose. You know, that Sheldon Rankins, Jordan Phillips, another good pass rusher, pass rushing nose tackle. So, you know, maybe the draft, you know, nose tackles tend to fall. So it's possible you could get a quality nose tackle like a Travis Jones, right? That's an example from this year, like on day two. A'shaun Robinson, I really love. He's not really a nose tackle, but you know, so there are potentially going to be some guys out there in free agency for them to add. And I think adding to the interior is absolutely one of the biggest needs this offseason. And they just don't have the depth there. They don't necessarily have all the horses up front to really keep up, to really put the clamps on offenses. And we'll see how it goes over the rest of the season. But it hasn't been great, certainly up front, but I think, you know, when you have Grady Jarrett and you have Taquan Graham, who I think has been better than expected so far, you have something to build off of. And I think they're starting to have a good group of edges. I think they're really missing that like high end edge one guy, right? Like we talked about it last week, like they're missing that Myles Garrett type. You know, every team wishes they had a Myles Garrett type, not a lot do. I think that's like the biggest need, right? The biggest need for them is to go out and get that high-end pass rusher. I think you're more likely to find that guy in the draft, because when those guys hit free agency, it's usually when they're older. It's usually because of some issue or you have to trade for them. And I think that's probably not the best way to go about it. I think the best thing for them is to look for that at the top of the draft. You know, I will they be in range for Will Anderson? Probably not. Maybe Jalen Carter, right? That's more of an interior presence, but I'd be happy with that too. They got to get something, right? They got to get something going there. We got George Costanza with the $5 now. All right, Mario Costanza, you know, cover your ears for this one, because George is coming in hot. Stop the cap, Mariota's trash. Any half-decent quarterback wins us this game handily. I want Mariota to stay the quarterback if we are tanking. Otherwise, it's time to move on. Let Ritter see what he can do. Ritter is a winner. Hype train starting up. I mean, I think that's a little aggressive, George, I would say. I mean, this was a bad game for Mariota. You know, I talked about it early in the show if you weren't here. I think that, like, yes, I think if Mariota hits a few of those if he hits a few of those throws that were missed, I think the Falcons probably do win this by a touchdown. I think if that snap is handled better, I think they probably score a touchdown on that drive, and it's a little bit less sweaty at the end. You know, you guys know I love Desmond Ridder. I was pounding the table for him or Malik Willis to come in here. I will be excited to see him at some point. I don't think now is the time. I think they want to at least get through this next stretch of a few games, see how it goes, right? You're going to be playing elite defenses in the Bucs and the 49ers. Really tough situation to insert a rookie into. I just don't think that that's ideal. I think probably week 10 or later at most. Week 10 or later, you know, we'll see how Mariota plays. Like, if he bounces back and plays great, then probably be later. If he continues to struggle against these good defenses, you know, we'll probably see him at some point. But, you know, I think it's a little early to call for his head, considering that I think he did have some very good performances early this season. So we'll see how that continues. But the passing volume has continued to go down every week that Mariota has been the starter, so that is something to monitor. Now part of that's maybe just the rushing offense being really good. Maybe it doesn't have as much to do with Mariota as people think, but you know, we'll see. We'll see. All right, hold on one second, guys. Yeah, like I said, folks, appreciate all 300 plus of you for hanging out with us this afternoon. Celebrating another Falcons win. Trying to be positive here, you know, not trying to dump on Mariota because they did get the win. If you guys don't mind throwing us a like, throwing us a subscription, hit that little bell thing, apparently to get notifications when we go live. You can check out our Patreon if you're interested in supporting the show. It's patreon.com/falcoholiclive. Get early access to all the podcast episodes, ad-free as well. Those will be up usually the night before. For certain shows like this one, it goes up like immediately because I can't wait, you know, to put it up. But otherwise, you guys will get all of those early and without any ads. So for those of you that hate ads, like I'm one of those guys that just hates Spotify ads so much, I just have to pay for it. So that's another good way to support the show too. Lots of cool perks, lots of cool chats and Q&As. We'll be having a Q&A soon as well. So keep an eye out for that. And yeah, appreciate everyone for hanging out. Thanks, guys. We got Corey with the $5. Next week is a measuring stick game. Browns had the ball for 35 minutes today, and the Falcons defense showed a lot of heart. Rashawn Evans was quietly a key player today against the run game. Yeah, I think that Rashawn Evans has, you know, looked like you would hope he would look back in a DMP's defense. I think that was sort of the thing. Like, I think this is sort of the perfect scheme for him, where you can sort of conceal his lack of coverage ability, where you can blitz him a lot, which he's really good at, and you can have him thump against the run in a traditional 3-4. You know, you can usually hide one of your inside linebackers in coverage, let him blitz, let him thump against the run, and that's what Rashawn Evans is. I think he's doing a good job in that role. I think he's having his best season since the last time he played with Dean Pease, and definitely a pleasant surprise there. You know, the other side of the coin is like Michael Walker, who I think has been very good in coverage, very close to having more interceptions. But the tackling and the thumping ability against the run has not quite been there. I mean, he's been a productive tackler, but I think he needs to wrap up better, man. He's got to get control of those tackles. He's got to continue to improve there, because I think his ceiling as a coverage player and overall, like his mobility and stuff like that, I think is really good. He just has to add, yeah, so he has a lot of tackles, but he misses a lot of tackles too. Like, some of those were second effort plays. It's been a consistent issue so far. I think that he has the ceiling of a good linebacker starter. And I think they can have a really good duo with him and Troy Anderson. That's a very athletic duo. But both of those guys are sort of have the same problem, right? They're good in coverage, all that, a lot of athleticism, obviously Anderson more so, because he's just a complete freak athlete. But they're not the best tacklers. They don't take the best angles, something that they got to work on. And I think that's why you need Rashawn Evans. And I think that's why they should sign him to an extension probably. Because they need that thumper against run heavy offenses. And I think Rashawn Evans has shown he's a good blitzer too. So he has some passing down value, even though his coverage is just not something you ever really want to see. And I think in like Timothy Fisher, I agree. Like, I think Troy Anderson is improving. You know, he's a rookie coming from Montana State. Shout out Bozeman. But he's limited still in his ability to play the run. So we'll hopefully see that continue to improve over the course of the season. But, you know, Michael Walker just needs to get, because he's in position for all these plays to like be these impact plays to stop these guys. And, there were just missed tackles. It's really annoying to watch. And I think like being in the right place to make the play is half of it. And a lot of linebackers are not athletic enough. You know, a lot of these thumpers that are great tacklers, they're just not able to be in position. So Michael Walker's got half of it down. He's also got the passing game stuff, which is really important. He just has to be able to finish more often. And as a guy that this is his first year of really starting, he needs patience to really get, you know, his feet wet, get used to NFL tackling and getting a hold on these NFL players that are just far better than anything you're going to face in college at Fresno State. It's going to take time. I still have confidence in him to be able to put it together. And I think like Michael Walker and Troy Anderson with Rashawn Evans as like the third guy is a really good group going forward that I'm excited to see long term. But I think we are still sort of waiting for it to happen with Walker in terms of his tackling and run support ability. He's getting there. He's getting there, but not quite yet. We got Mad Tom K with the $3. Thank you, Mad. Appreciate that, brother. He says, is it just me or has Dolman had at least 1 to 2 bad snaps per game? Start to get Mike Person flashbacks. Hope he cleans that up. Yeah, I mean, The snapping has been an issue. It has been mostly on Dahlman. Today, there was an issue with Mariota handling that snap. That wasn't necessarily on Dahlman. That was just Mariota taking his eyes off the ball for a second, and just the timing was bad. Dahlman absolutely has to get that cleaned up. He has to. If he doesn't, maybe he'll finish out the year starting. I mean, it doesn't seem like they're interested in going back to Matt Hennessy. But he will be replaced next year with a veteran signing or a high-end rookie. If he can't clean up the snaps, because it's just, you're never going to be more than a depth center if snapping is not something you have down. You have to be able to get that down. You have to eliminate those really dumb mistakes that just shut down your offense. Like, a bad snap could ruin an entire drive. Like, we saw it happen today. We've seen it happen almost every week where a snap influences the game in a negative way. You can't have that long-term. You just can't. So we'll hopefully see that get cleaned up. I think his blocking as a whole has been better than Hennessy's, especially as a pass blocker. But the snaps, you can't have that. You have to get that fixed sooner rather than later. If not, we're probably going to see the team go really hard after a center. In free agency, you know, we'll see if any good ones end up shaking free. I mean, right off the top of my head, I don't really see anyone that I love on the free agent market, obviously. So it may be a draft thing. The good thing about centers is a lot of times you can get really good ones in the draft, like on day two. So they don't necessarily have to use a premium pick to get an upgrade at center. I don't want to bring up my boy, that plays for the Chiefs now. You guys know who I mean. I won't say his name, but that would have been nice, right? To have that at center, but it is what it is, right? I mean, Richie Grant's playing really well, so I'm less mad about that now because of that. So, George Costanza with the $5 again. Wore my Bartkowski jersey for the first time this season, and we won. I think I'm on to something. We're going to the Super Bowl. No more draft takes, because we're coming for that number one spot in the league, I know, is what he means. Choo-choo, hype train, go and chug it down the tracks. Everybody hop on. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take a sip here before we get to this next point, but this is sort of a turning point for the Falcons, and we'll see what they can do with it. But one moment here, guys. All right. So this is a point now. It's really nice to get the back-to-back wins, right? I think the Falcons did that just once last year. No, they didn't do it at all. They haven't won back-to-back games ever under Arthur Smith. So this was already a turning point. That's nice. Last year, they got to 500 twice after starting in a hole and lost against winnable teams each time, right? So last year, they get to 3-3 with a win against Miami. Then they go to play the Panthers, who have been awful over the last few weeks, right? And they lose it in a really bad game. Then they go on the road, beat the Saints to get back to 500 again, and then get blown out by the Cowboys, right? So, this year, it's a different situation because they get back to 500, but they have to go now and play really, three really good teams, right? Tampa Bay has looked vulnerable, so there's a chance maybe if the offense comes to play and the Bucs are still reeling with these injuries that maybe they can make that a game. It's in Tampa, so I think it's going to be really tough, but, it is what it is. San Francisco, I mean, they've looked very mortal on offense since Garoppolo has taken over, but again, that's a tough game against an elite defense. Then you have to play the Bengals. Who really knows what's going on there? They've definitely looked better as of late, but maybe not as unstoppable as last year. And then you get a couple of games. You get a series of games where I think they could potentially claw back. So say they end up going, 1-2 against the Bucks, 49ers, and Bengals. They steal a win in there somewhere. And then they're at, 3-5 going into the Panthers game. They could potentially beat the Panthers. They would probably have a chance against the Chargers, who are just so hurt right now. And they should sweep the Panthers. The Panthers are really bad, guys. So then they got the Bears, the Commanders, and the Steelers. Those are all winnable games. There's a chance they could go into the bye week with a winning record if they sort of hit their stride after this difficult stretch. They just have to keep it together, winning one of these next three to keep it 3-5 instead of falling to 2-6 or something like that, or 2-5. Let's see. There's three more games. They're at 2-2. So it would be 3-4, excuse me. So if they could keep it at 3-4 over this really difficult three game stretch, that's great. Instead of falling to 2-5, then it would be a lot easier to climb out of this hole. But it really, you know, you have to start winning those winnable games after that to climb back. And, you know, if they're in the bye week, if they hit week 14 with a winning record, or if they get to a winning record at any point, I will celebrate, right? Like, we'll all celebrate. But they got a long way to go. It's nice to see them win two games against teams that they really should beat here. It's nice to see them sort of recover from some bad mistakes early in the season. And, you know, I think there's a lot of football left to be played. I would say that the playoff stuff is a little bit premature because we do have a difficult stretch coming. But I won't, you know, knock anyone for being optimistic. I just don't want people to get their feelings hurt or get sort of jazzed up and, you know, then have their hopes dashed because the Falcons come back to earth. I would take it easy on that just for now. You know, if they somehow come out of this three game stretch with a winning record, right? They win, you know, two of the next three, then I think you could probably start ramping up because I think, you know, you're playing three playoff teams there. But just let's, you know, just asking people to try to relax. Don't get too hyped yet. I think it's going to be a difficult 3 week stretch here. But then I think in week eight, we enter this scenario where it's like one, two, three, four, five, like five of those six games, I think the Falcons should probably be favored in. You know, I the Chargers game, I think, is the more difficult of those games, but we'll see. And then they got the Saints again, who look extremely mortal. They have to go play the Ravens. That's, you know, probably not going to win that one, but they get the Cardinals late. We all know how the Cardinals do in the second half of seasons. And then they play the Bucks to close it out. So if they go into week 14, say they win one of the next three, then they'll be 3-4. Then they go, you know, 4-2 over that six game stretch, right? They'll have a winning record going into the bye week. They'll be like 7-6. Then they just need to win like two of those next games. And then I think to get to 9-8, I think that they could, you know, against the Saints and the Cardinals, you're probably hoping you could squint and like really try to make this happen, but it's quite early. Let's see how they continue. They need to get this passing game sorted out, right? They need to figure out how to get that going more because they're not going to be able to put up 200 rushing yards on every team. So they got to figure out how to get that going a little bit better in this one. But I think if you're feeling, I think it's okay to feel better about the Falcons after this game. I think it's nice. Like 2-2 going into week four with, you know, two games against, you know, thought playoff contenders, one against the defending Super Bowl champion. I think this is a good start. Like, this is about as good of a start as you could hope for. Now let's see how they perform over this difficult stretch and we'll go from there. They do have a winnable set of games after that, but just remember that I warned you when we go into this three game stretch, if they lose a couple games, like don't freak out. Don't panic until, like, if they go into the bye week with a losing record, I think we know it's all over, but, it is, you know, I think they've shown a lot of fight against good teams. I'm hopeful they can do the same against the Bucks and the 49ers, but we still need to see it. We got George Costanza with the $25. Thank you so much, George, man. Appreciate that, buddy. He says, if Arthur Smith can win games with our generic Madden creative player at QB, man, George is coming for Mariota today. We could win the Super Bowl with a QB that can actually throw the ball forward of the line of scrimmage. And Mariota was available because no one wanted it. Well, I mean, I think teams wanted him to be the backup, but, you know, I think Mariota understandably wanted to come be a starter and has looked limited, but I think his mobility has been a boon to the offense. And I'm not willing to bury him just yet, George. I think he deserves a few more weeks at least. Like, he's got a tough stretch of games coming here. And I think that he clearly has shown that he's a limited passer, but if they can keep winning, then it doesn't matter. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. All right, guys, any further, if anybody else is planning to donate or do any more questions, this is your, you know, 2 minute more warning here as we're coming up on an hour. So we will get to anyone else that comes in, answer a couple more things before we wrap up today. Appreciate everyone for tuning in. All right. Oh yeah, there's no super chats yet, Anonymous. You know, they won't let me. I don't qualify for like super chats or super follows or anything like that yet. The channel I think needs like something ridiculous, like 20,000 subscribers before I qualify, which is pretty ridiculous in my opinion. But yeah, so it's all through like the Streamlabs stuff because I can't do it through YouTube directly. That would definitely make it easier if I could just do it through YouTube. But you know, they're very picky about who they let do that stuff at this point. Hopefully they'll open it up to my humble, you know, 4,000 follower channel or whatever, but you know, whatever, YouTube. But you know, it's better than Twitch. It's better than Twitch. So George, the bear said the same shit about Rex Grossman. Mariota is Rex Grossman too. But you reminded me of that. The Falcons had Rex Grossman here briefly, right? I think he came in and just had like this awful game. Now I gotta look this up. Cause Rex the Gross Man. He was playing Gross Man. I feel like there was a game like he came in and played for the Falcons or something in the preseason. I can't remember, but it was bad. If you guys remember that game, remind me, because that I remember something with Rex Grossman somewhat recently. We got Rich the Gill from the UK. What's up, Rich? He says, what do we do at center? Nothing right now. You know, you keep practicing, right? You keep going and going until you get it right. I don't think there's a lot to be gained from going back to Hennessy. I mean, if Dahlman really falters, then you have to go to Hennessy. But I think it's like they need to know if Dahlman could get this together and play, because I think as a blocker, he's been good enough, certainly, to where you don't, because it's like if Dahlman can't cut it, then you have to go out and get a center. Like, you either have to get one high in the draft or you have to go get a veteran somehow. And I think they would probably rather not do that, right? I think they'd probably rather save their resources for the defensive line, you know, maybe left guard, where there's a little bit more available in terms of like guys that might be on the free agent market. But, you know, and right tackle, right? They're going to have to spend money at right tackle. So I think it would be better for everyone if Dahlman could just take control of the job, be a good center, and they don't have to worry about it. Because, you know, right tackle, they're going to have to figure out. Maybe they just re-sign McGarry if he keeps playing like this. But, or they franchise tag him or whatever. And maybe they draft someone high, but they need to do a lot. They will have money to fill a few holes in free agency for the first time in God knows how long, but they can't do a bunch of stuff. So one of Dahlman or Hennessy being your good starter at center, I think, is key. I think we need to have some level of patience with Dahlman. This is his first year starting. So I would counsel patience, you know, with Dahlman for now, but we'll see. You know, how it continues. Because if they keep having the snap issues like 3 or 4 games from now, it's just not going to fly. It's not going to fly. It's going to be unacceptable. Like, this offense is good, but it's not good enough to just constantly overcome those problems. It's just not going to work. So, thanks for the question, though. Yeah, guys. I really appreciate everyone for tuning in. It's been a great show. We're over an hour now. So we'll go ahead and wrap up for today. Like I said, please do like and subscribe. We really appreciate everyone for doing that. Click that little bell for the notifications. We'll have our next show will be the Falcons film review, which is coming out on Tuesdays. It'll either be, depends on when they get the All-22 up. If they get the All-22 like early on Monday, like around 1, then usually it'll be out early Tuesday. If they don't, then I usually have to work on it like Tuesday morning, and then it's out later on Tuesday. But it'll be out sometime on Tuesday. Then, of course, we'll have our next live show on Wednesday. We'll probably also have a Q&A coming soon as well, probably this next week. So keep an eye out for that, folks. Yeah. Again, really appreciate you guys. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/FalcoholicLive. Ad-free early access to all the podcast episodes. Yeah, thank you all so much. We'll be back, to talk more about this Falcons victory over the next couple days, and, hopefully gonna continue to win games. That'd be nice, right? I mean, I'm enjoying the wins. You got to savor these. We don't know how many we're going to get. So you got to savor them, guys. George, he's just burying Mariota today. Okay. Mariota is that old wooden bridge over a river. He's technically a bridge, but you wouldn't want your kid's school bus to go across it. George is coming, you know, George and the Mariota stands are gonna fight like in the chat, so that's, you know, that's fine. I appreciate everyone for tuning in. I appreciate all the Mariota stands. I appreciate George. It's a fun discussion. You know, I think we'll see over the next few weeks if we need to make a change. I think at this point it's a little premature, just to be fair to Mariota, but We'll see how it goes, guys. But again, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I will talk to you guys next time on the Falcoholic Live, the Falcoholic Podcast. Until then, guys, you can follow me, Kevin Knight, at Falcoholic Kevin on the Twitters. Have a great night, folks. We'll see you next time on the Falcoholic Live. See you guys.